Why am I talking about a Christmas story? You think, oh, come on. I think someone said there's a 78 sleeps to Christmas. Sorry, you're not counting yet, are you? The Magi are from Central Asia. Let's just have a look. Can you remember the gifts that they brought? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They show you where they've come from. Just give you a little bit of an orientation to that part of the world. So we're on the top left there. We're looking at those sort of coloured countries in the right there, Iran, all the stands, Tajikistan, etc. Where it says Russia, that's actually where Tatarstan is, almost exactly there. It's just a state within Russia. But it would be considered as part of Central Asia. They certainly consider themselves Central Asian people. The Magi were from that part of the land. Those of you who are familiar with the Punjab area in Pakistan may know of the Golden Temple, famous temple, covered completely in gold, very, very important in that part of the world. In the sort of Iran and on the other side of the Arabian Gulf, you've got incense, frankincense. That's what the bush looks like. And, of course, it's used in the temples in that region of the world to burn as incense. And the imagery there is just as it is in the Bible, that the people's prayers are going up to God in heaven. Okay, so gold and incense are very, very important. And so when these rulers or advisors to the rulers of the eastern states on the very edge of the Roman Empire came to Jesus, they brought with them these very precious gifts because it reflects where they are from. But it also, and the reading that we had from Isaiah chapter 60, you'll notice that in verse 5 it says, it begins with the imagery of light and glory. Verse 1, arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord rises upon you. He's speaking to his people Israel in captivity in Babylon, in this part of the world. And yet he promises that a great light is going to arise, not just that will help Israel, God's people, but indeed that the nations will assemble to. So he says, you'll return from Israel, from exile, verse 4, lift up your eyes, look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, and the riches of the nations will come to you. There was a promise that the wealth of the nations were going to come when God restores his people. And no longer would God's people be slaves amongst the nations, but rather the nations would come to God's people to meet with the true and the living God, and they would bring their wealth with them. So that was one of the promises that was still outstanding 500 years later when Jesus was born. And then these guys turn up. So where are they from? There's a map of the Middle East, which we're all very familiar with at the moment because of everything that's going on there. And over on the right-hand side, you've got... What's this going to get in there? You might remember that is one of a reconstruction of one of the gates of Babylon. Babylon, during the time of Israel's captivity, about 500-600 BC, had one of the seven wonders of the world, the Gardens of Babylon. Fantastically wealthy. And what the Babylonians did is the people they conquered, they took the best of those people, the leaders, and they brought them back to their own land. So Daniel was one of them, for example. And they would take the wealth of those nations, including the literary wealth. So when they conquered Israel, they took Israel's Torah, the law written on the scrolls, and that went into the Babylonian library. And the people in charge of the library were the Magi. So these are these wise people who can read all these different languages, and they collect all this wisdom, and they use that wisdom to advise the emperor. So they're very important people. And they knew of this promise in the Torah, in the book of Numbers. It says, it speaks of when a king will rise in Jacob or Israel. And it says, when that happens, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise He will conquer. Israel will grow strong. So when the star rose at Jesus' birth, these magi in Central Asia, who knew this prophecy because the law was in the Babylonian library that they'd inherited, they saw this star rise and they said, a king has been born in Israel. And that's why they go. God had prepared all those centuries before the preparation of the law, and then oversaw all of history so that the Babylonians carted that law into captivity so that they would know what had happened. So that when Jesus is born, God begins to fulfill his promise to Isaiah that the nations would come in and worship God's true king. And they would bring their wealth, they would bring gold, they would bring frankincense. And so that's what they do. But not only does it show where they come from, the promise also shares where Jesus was going. Remember the third of the gifts that are offered. That's the myrrh bush. It doesn't look much, but if you strip off the incrustations that grow on it, it looks like that. If you grind that down and extract the oil from it, you get an oil that is used for this purpose. What's that? Mummification, embalming. Now, what part of the world is gold, frankincense, and embalming oil really, really important to? I'll give you a clue. Here they are. Egypt. Egypt mummifies its rulers. Egypt, like every other part of the world, has incense. And of course, you know those wonderful death masks that are not wonderful, but they're inlaid with gold all over. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh are currency in Egypt. So when these magi come and they worship Jesus, so the first people to acknowledge Jesus as king over all the world are pagan magi from Central Asia. When the king in Jerusalem hears, Herod, what does he do? Well, we didn't read the rest of the story. He tries to have Jesus killed. So God's own people, when his Messiah comes to them, try to kill him, and the nations come and worship him. So God sends an angel and he says to Joseph, go to Egypt and stay in that place of refuge until Herod is dead, and then come back. Have you ever wondered why you never hear anything about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh again in the Bible? Can I suggest it because they spent the money? That they're in Egypt for several years and they needed to live off something, and they just would have used that as their means of living. So the Lord provided for Jesus so that he survived the murderous attempts of the Israel leadership by giving him gifts from the pagan nations so that he was able to go into adulthood. The rest of the passage, and you can read it for yourself later in Matthew 2, says that after Herod died, they came back to Jerusalem. And of course they go to Jerusalem because that's where God's king should live. He should live in the capital city, not up in Nazareth. But they find that Herod's son Archelaus has taken the throne, and he's as bad as his father. He wants to kill everybody he views as a threat. And so Joseph then takes Mary and the young Jesus back to Nazareth, his hometown, a Gentile part of Israel. And that's where he grows up. And Matthew tells us that it fulfills his the prophecy that the Messiah would work from a Gentile area. So that's how the Gospel of Matthew begins. I want to just take you to the very end, the bit that you all know and you expect every missionary speaker to speak about, the Great Commission. How does it end? Jesus appears to his people. Where does he appear to them? He appears in Galilee, a Gentile part of Israel, not in Jerusalem. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now notice what, and he says, behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. But notice what's changed. At the beginning of Matthew's gospel, the expectation when the nations would come in and join God's people in Israel. But Jesus, after he has died and risen again, commissions his people and he says, no, you don't wait for the nations to come to you. You go to the nations. And that is why churches today continue to send missionaries. And I praise you as a church for sending Naomi. And she does wonderful work. She's not operating on her own. She's operating in a project. You know, there's hospital and there's all sorts of other things going on. And all of those things communicate God's love to the people. And win a hearing so that they can hear about this Jesus who will cleanse their hearts and rule the world. People need to hear those two truths. That is the gospel. Jesus will cleanse our hearts and he will rule the world, including you. You must live in alignment with that. And so we don't wait people for come to us and say, teach us. We go to them and we demonstrate love and we proclaim the truth. And God works in hearts, even of Muslims, to turn to Jesus and be forgiven because of the love of God's people. So I just want to commend you as a church. Keep doing what you're doing. There is nothing more important than having Jesus proclaimed to the nations and people loved by Christians as we take that message to them.